you're supposed to do the introduction.
Oh, my bad.
You've got the radio voice.
Oh, the radio voice. Welcome to the second episode of Quail Balls on a Tray, which, you know, we have, you know, Trey here, we have Balls there, Hollywood, whatever you want to call him. But we're missing a key part to our podcast name. Unfortunately, Quail is not going to make it today. He's too busy, I don't know, doing whatever he does. So I think we're changing the name. We're just going to go ahead and change the name.
Or we're just going to cut him out?
We're not going to cut him out. He can still come on, but, you know, we're going to change the name. So we're going to go with Quite Frankly. This show will now be known as Quite Frankly. We're going for a little bit of that ESPN, you know, radio TV vibe. You know, trying to get the right catchy name, and we'll see if you guys like it. We don't really care at this point. We're changing it anyway. So
I actually Googled it to see if we were jocking anybody.
And we're not?
I did not see anything, but I didn't Google that hard.
All right. I'm seeing that we need to throw out a hi to Nola. We're literally recording this right now. I like that you let everybody know that. So let's just start. Let's go ahead and start off right there. We didn't show the Kings any love last week.
Do they deserve love?
For being maybe the worst team ever in this league, I don't have the background. We've been six seasons, but I'm sure 1-17 is not great. I think I went on an 0-18 stretch last year, but I had already racked up like 20 wins.
So first of all, 1-19, that brings them to a win percentage of .050, which is respective, you know.
Yeah, I need to start looking at the standings before I start quoting the standings.
Yeah, that is already sometimes you just throw out a number. I mean, it's pretty good, though.
That's already two mistakes.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
Yeah, so.
So, worst team ever.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, I think so. Welcome to the club, man. I know you're inheriting someone else's work, but you have a lot. Shit. You have a lot to go on from here on out. This is a pretty bad canvas to be painting on right now.
Well, that gives us a really good segue to our first, set, right? To trades, right?
Right. Let's do that.
And we could talk about the Mavs and the Kings trade. What's your immediate reaction?
My immediate reaction is, well, first off, I don't know who D'Angelo Collins or Fred Jones are. I mean, I remember seeing them in the league, but I don't know what they've been doing. I know the Mavs really wanted a three, put out an APB for a three, and within a couple hours landed a three.
What does APB mean?
All points bulletin.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks. Got smarter.
Yeah, no big deal. That's what I'm here for, to make, you know, make myself sound like an idiot and make myself sound smart at all the same times.
It's a net negative.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
You mean most of the time? It's just going to bring us right back to where we were.
But, yeah.
I don't know what the Utah first rounder will be worth. Who cares about the Mavs second rounder, honestly? Although you guys trade for them like hotcakes there during the draft. That was insane.
Well, I need some cheap salary, man.
Yeah, I guess so. $495,000 a year or whatever it is.
My immediate reaction was panic move.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, I don't think that the Mavs were in a position where they needed this. And I don't really know that the Mavs were a team that we really thought were going to be really good this year.
I mean, playoff team.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're still in the playoff talk. But, I mean, they're not the Houston Rockets. They're not the Memphis Grizzlies. They're not the Lakers. You know, those are the only three teams that I would have safely said were definitely going to make it into the playoffs this year in the West. So, I mean, there was a lot of open positions, but I mean, the guy was doing something pretty well. I'm actually really, really nervous about seeing his next sim. I mean, Keith Van Horn.
No, I mean, he'll be, you know, I felt this way after the Sprewell trade for Quail Man, and I was clearly wrong, but he'll be a better team now, but I don't know what he accomplished with it.
Yeah, what is Van Horn? I don't.
Oh, he's good. I mean, he's
The trade hasn't been processed yet. So what is he giving?
I think it's something like 18 points a game, but it's on a team with no other scorer, so it's inflated.
Well, and the Kings just took on a couple more bad players.
Yeah, but
I mean, we just talked about the Kings. I know that. I understand, but does this make their team even worse?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like considerably worse.
That was probably their best.
Yeah, game. Yeah. I don't want to say that. We're not gonna do nope. that on this podcast. We're never gonna call anybody out. But yeah, I think that was kind of the goal. I think
23-9.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, that was their entire offense.
I actually don't blame him. Is it the T word? I don't know, but I don't blame him for it because he's got nothing going right. So may as well get some picks for him.
Well, and honestly, if I was going to trade somebody, well, I would have at least tried to deal. I would have tried to deal Van Horn or Brandon for a decent package of future players. I just don't like. I mean, I guess he got Utah's first round pick, but what do we expect from Utah this year? I mean, last year they missed out on the last day of the playoffs.
And they're only better.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up with their pick, and I think I had the 12th pick or something like that. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I got a lot out of them. With that pick, I got Jack, but you know, when it's all said and done, I don't necessarily love this move for either person, because the Mavs had a pick and they needed that pick. I think for the Mavs, the Utah Jazz pick is meaningful because the Mavs will make the playoffs and they won't be in the lottery or the bottom half of it. For the Kings, they need as much help as they can possibly get with all the expiring contracts that they have this year. They need as much help as they can get. But
so. That, I guess we both can say, is a head-scratcher, right?
Yeah, head-scratcher.
So, from one head-scratcher to what I consider the next head-scratcher, the Bulls and the Nets trade. So, in this trade, the Bulls traded Nene Magetti for Kirilenko in the second-round pick.
Okay, so I looked at Nene. I don't know if I was just hunting around looking to see what was going on at the four and a couple other teams, and I like Nene a lot. I don't really know about Magetti, a Lakers second round pick, Kirilenko. What is Kirilenko doing in this league?
Defender, all really? World defender.
Well, it's not. It's just one defender to the other one. I mean, Nene is like an A plus defender. Nene's ridiculous.
I think he's A. Well, he's a good rebounder. He's like an A minus guy.
Was it Chicago Bulls?
I could be wrong on that.
Kirilenko's an A-plus defender, so maybe you're right. That, you know.
Yeah, no, he was, I mean.
New Jersey Nets.
So, you look at Kirilenko, he's A-plus, and then you go look at the Nets.
Well, who, I mean.
And the Nets are B defense, and, or Nene's B defense, B-plus rebound, and A-minus. Inside.
Yeah.
So here's where it becomes a head scratcher for me is you look at the Nets roster and they already have Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
They already have Jermaine O'Neal.
Yeah.
Now they've added Nene.
Yeah.
And they were already weak on the wing. And they don't really have a point guard. I mean, he drafted Calderon to take over, but I don't understand it for him. And then I go ahead and look at it for the Bulls, who have the best three in the league, LeBron James. And
I've heard him.
Call him that.
I've heard him.
And then he puts Kirilenko there. So now he's starting Moiso, or I have no idea how to say that. I mean, maybe he did it to get some room for Bogut and put LaFrenz at the four. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get a lot of his moves. I mean, he traded Nash to you, and he's starting Duhon.
Yeah. I mean, and Nash had a – I think we all – I was looking in free agency. I was looking at Nash, but I would never have offered Nash more than what he's getting paid now. I probably would have offered less, except for the fact that I really needed to fill that need, and I still had money to play around with after. That was a good deal. I mean, what is it? It starts off at like 6-7 and goes to like 9. In a 4-year deal. I mean, and Nash, you know, if you look at Nash on my team right now, Nash is having a relatively good year. He's not in a place where he's going to really thrive. offensively because I'm just not calling good shots for him right now. But 10.4 points per game and 9.3 assists, 1.8 steals. I mean, he's doing relatively well. I would have liked him more than giving it right over to Calderon, which is essentially what I would have ended up doing, you know, if I hadn't traded for
Nash. Calderon's on the Nets. Not the Bulls.
Oh, the Bulls have... But the Bulls are missing a point guard too, right?
Yeah, but yeah. They traded a point guard as well.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well.
So, the next trade is really not worthwhile to talk about, but we will for a few seconds. Warriors-Rockets. Warriors receive Rodney Rogers. Rockets receive Robert Archibald and 6 points.
Yeah, the 6 points seem like the biggest, most important thing. I mean, I think Houston actually liked Rodgers. They got on the board and started talking about how much they loved Rodgers.
But he regressed.
Yeah. I don't know this. I mean, this doesn't – the only thing this helps out to me is the Rockets got 6 points, which are very important now.
What's up with the Warriors owner – signing his players to 7-year deals, right?
Right.
Trading them, and then reacquiring them.
Before the end of their contracts, right?
Like, within a year.
Was that what Archibald was?
No, that was Rodney Rogers.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and same thing with Sprewell, and maybe it's only two cases.
Yeah, I mean, it's a $2 million deal. Yeah, the Sprewell one. The Rogers is only 2 a year. I mean, honestly, that's not terrible.
So Sprewell, maybe the most untradeable contract in the league, gets traded twice within like 30 days.
I don't understand. Okay, I don't like Latrell Sprewell at all, but I don't think his contract is the worst thing in the world. It's definitely not helpful to anybody trying to build a team.
He's like 80 and making $90 million.
Yeah, and he's making $9 million. Yeah, that's tough.
It's been mentioned that Ray Allen has a bad contract, but Ray Allen produces, so you can't call that the worst contract.
Well, that's a great contract now. I mean, honestly, Ray Allen as the centerpiece for an offense is a bad thing, but now with Chris Paul involved, it's just made him that much better. It's made him worthwhile on that contract. Still a tough contract because you're stuck with it for a while. And I don't know. I think he makes, what is it in the end? Like, is it 17 to 20 mil in the last year?
24, but...
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. It's a big deal. That's tough.
So we talked about this earlier this week on the board, but how do you feel about these overpowered rookies?
I think it's... All in all, it's going to be a bad thing.
Yeah, Dwight was, I mean, he's ridiculous. Yeah. Now, he's actually, if you look at his stats, he's actually kind of, he seems toned down a bit. In other words, like, he's putting up better raw numbers, so 27.8 as opposed to 26.4 points per game. He's also getting, 15.6 rebounds compared to 12. But his field goal percent is considerably down. So he's not – I mean, I think he's just shooting the ball a lot more now.
Yeah.
But he still is – I mean, he's a rebounding fiend.
Right.
A-plus rebounder, so.
Right.
The only one in the game.
Right. Yeah, and that's the sick thing about it is, I mean, he's got one more free training session. He's already got a perfect score. Yeah. I know Commissioner had to do these himself, and it's a learning curve, but I'm afraid of what it's going to do to the league itself. I mean, you can see this turn around, like, really quickly. You can have these teams who have these all-pro contracts, these all-pro players at 19 and 20, and it just you may not ever be able to catch those guys, you know, with the right planning. Now that's all on the right planning, and we've seen a lot of owners screw up their teams before really quickly. But I mean, I think B-Ball Reasons is he? I don't want to call him lucky because he had one of the worst records last year. So he landed it with a different pick, which was weird. But that being said, he's still to draw Chris Paul on.
Call a spade a spade, man.
Right. I mean, it's good. I mean, he hit on it, and it worked. I can't complain with that. I had two picks. I had two picks in the same situation, and neither one of them hit. So I can't hate on him for it.
Yeah.
And this is me not hating on B-ball on podcast number two.
We're all envious of that love, to be honest with you. I am.
What was that?
I said we're all envious of that love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get Chris Paul. I mean, that's what everybody wanted to draft.
Yeah, I mean, everybody. You wanted to pick up. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. I'm sure it's what's going to be gearing up for 07. Because, I mean, you have. But the thing is there, you know, do we expect a guy who might be comparable to these guys or who's better than these two guys now in the league? Are his stats going to be comparable? Are his rankings going to be comparable? Talking about Durant.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, and that's that. You see where I'm going with that. I mean, we got a guy who should be the same rated guy as LeBron James, but he may not be as good as, you know, Dwight Howard and Chris Paul, who in the real league are not at the caliber that he is, at the caliber Durant is.
It's tomato tomato. I mean, Chris Paul at his most dominant stage was top five player MVP.
Right.
When he was averaging, 22 and 12 for the Hornets? So,
right.
I mean, at his most dominant stage, he was there too.
Right.
And Dwight, I mean, Dwight, when surrounded with the right people, I don't think he's a top five, but he's top 10. So,
right.
You know,
well,
it's a good debate to have. So, do you want to go to our next section?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
So, we'll just go down the list. Do you have the standings up?
Yeah, let me go ahead. We're gonna go reverse. We want to make sure that everybody gets talked about here. We've heard a little bit about that, so want to make sure that everybody's getting a chance. So we're gonna go playoff standings, and we're gonna go reverse here.
All right.
So I'll go from the bottom up, and the bottom still very surprising. The Boston Celtics. Injuries are killing this team, and you know they don't have a lot of depth 1 through 3. Let's see what happens for the rest of the season. I don't like them at all right now, though.
Detroit Pistons, disappointing so far, but they're still trying to get their bearings.
Atlanta Hawks, 0-4 in the first sim means that they've been 7-6 since then, 5-5 in their last 10. I like them.
Was that a real stat or a made-up one?
No, I'm looking at the standing.
Okay.
5-5 in the last 10. I didn't make up that one. I'm looking at the standings right now. All right. thanks.
New Jersey Nets. Clear out your team and build around Dwight.
Yeah. Indiana Pacers. They started out relatively strong. Have had a pretty weak two sims. I'm not buying or selling this team.
Chicago Bulls. Nene at 3.
I'm really looking forward to seeing this sim for them. He's gonna play the three. That's what we talked about.
The wing, yeah. So
is he even capable of playing that position?
I mean,
we're about to find out, I guess.
What do you mean by capable?
Well,
like, can he stand there?
I mean, it really, honestly, playing the wing, you know, is this a inside focused team? Is he, you know, are they running a 2-3? You know,
I think his focus is. I think he put LeBron, and then for trap he put LeBron, and then for press he put LeBron.
It's not a bad plan. Let's wait and see. I mean, they're right at 500. I'm gonna watch this team next sim. All right, now, I'm sorry, I'm almost missed one guy. The Toronto Raptors, right there in the 9 spot. Am I calling this one or are you calling this one?
You are.
Still like this team. They're playing around 500. I think that this is a guy who's going to get his game plan right before we can really even call the shot on him. Basically, he's in a much better position than I am. I'm still playing and tinkering with my game plan. But he's at 500 tinkering with his game plan. He's tied for 8th right now in the playoffs. I mean, we've seen teams go crazy at the end of the season, and it's, you know, it's exactly because they have the right game plan. And I think Toronto's doing that right now. So I like them. I like them better than a couple teams we're about to get to.
Okay. I think it's fitting that I get the Orlando Magic.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at their team, and they're 9-10, and I was like, man, what are they missing? And I just kept looking for their team, and I couldn't think about it. And then I was like, man, if they only had a 6'9" power forward that could score about 20 a game and get 11 rebounds. Oh, wait, they traded him. Next team.
Cold-blooded. Miami Heat. This team's playing better than they have in the past. We talked about them a little bit. I remember us being really surprised by how good his first sim was. They're at 500 now. You know, this is a team I could see sneaking in there. Sneaking in there. They're number 7 now. I don't think they're going to get much higher than that.
No.
I would expect them to be the 7 or 8 seed. I wouldn't expect them to get any higher.
So, New York Knicks. If I had to sum it up in one word, it would be desperate. They are starting Wesley Person at the 2. This is a team that everybody thought was going to come through and win championship after championship after championship. Mm-hmm. And they are not doing that.
Well, and the thing is, we talked about their rookie class earlier.
Yeah.
What is the outlook? I mean, they are over 500 now, but they're 5-9 in their last 14 games. They had a great first sim. But if this team misses the playoffs, do you put max money on both those guys? I mean, those guys are great. Don't get me wrong. I don't want it to sound like, you know, they're doing something wrong here. But whatever they're surrounding those two guys with is not working that well. And to keep making moves, I mean, they're selling my first round pick for anything, I think. They're trying to get something. And it makes me think, you know, how active they are on moves and things like that they're not that excited about their team.
Yeah, they tried to trade for Ray Allen early in the season. I don't think that was the right move. He's a little bit too old for their team, but they got to do something.
Yeah. 76ers. Bojangles, you know, consummate pro. This guy is good. I think this team's going to be fine. They're going to make it in the playoffs.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
When you say Bojangles, consummate pro, what do you mean by that? Do you mean drunk?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm not. This is a, you know, he's definitely a house, a Gregory House type character. He's great at what he does, saves lives, but he's an asshole at the same time. Not calling you an asshole. I'm just saying
you can't just call him an asshole.
Bojangles, and I didn't mean it like that. Bojangles, you can do whatever you want. You know, you, it's funny. We get good posts from you. You know, everybody wanted us to tell our best drunken post stories, and I think they all involve Bojangles at this point. Great stuff. You are good at this, and, you know, that is why I think people kind of, you know, that you slide under the radar a little bit sometimes during the middle of the season. It's like everybody wants to see the next funny Bojangles post, but no one really knows how good this team is this year. And I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to figure things out. They're, you know, they're one of the top 3 or 4 teams every year. Is that a safe assessment? You know?
Yeah.
So they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
So I'm going to skip my turn and let you go for the Cavs because I know you have a virtual erection for them at times.
The Cavs are really good. I mean, they're 14-9 right now. They haven't played nearly as many games as, you know, everybody else, it seems like. But they're doing really well. And that's a team that, and I was worried about this. I was worried about some of the, you know, everybody's really upset about the Lakers trade and kind of upset with Zolino for what he did and giving up Duncan. But, you know, I was worried that we were going to lose this guy. And he's been posting every depth chart. He's been very good. The Cavs are very good. I don't know that they're, you know, they get past the second round, but I think they're good. I like them a lot. You know, I do.
Okay.
I think they're pretty well cemented in the top 4 at this point.
Good deal. Milwaukee Bucks, I'll take your arch enemy here. sum it up one word, surprising.
Yeah.
But one thing Quail Man does really well is he knows how to build a bench, and it's probably because most of the time he's on the bench. But No, he's. I mean, he really does have a good bench. You have Pollard, Channing Frye, who might end up being the sixth man of the year, Corliss Williamson, who is really great, and then he's got a bunch of guys that can just give him solid minutes. I mean, Corliss give him eight a game. Right. Channing Frye's giving him 10 off the bench. Pollard's even giving him 4 and 4 in a block.
Right.
So he's tough to beat. He's got a good defense, and he's going to be in the playoffs.
I'm going to give you my quick call. I think he's the bottom of the Eastern Conference. I think he's in the bottom four spots. He's right Are now, you? He's the third. This is how much I love the Cavs and 76ers that I think he ends up in the fifth seed.
I don't know.
I mean, basically the Cavs have the same record with or they're in the same spot, five games back of the leader, who, you know, we can just praise him again because he's amazing. The Bucks, I don't know. I mean, there's one thing that Doug's been consistent at, and that's changing things enough that he doesn't, like, towards the end of the season, he's great in the first half. Towards the end of the season, he starts tinkering with things, trading just to be trading at the, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, like he said last year. But I don't know. I like the Cavs. I think in a series, the Cavs are better. I like the 76ers because they've proven it. Of course, I like the Wizards. Of course, I like the Hornets. But I think that's just why the Bucks move down to the five seed for me. I don't think that anybody else passes them. I mean, I want to make sure I give them respect.
Do you want to put a bet on this?
What, that he ends up in the bottom five?
Yeah.
I already owe him a beer. Who am I? I'm betting with you.
Yeah.
Are you sold on him in the top five?
Top four.
Top four, I mean. I'll take that.
What do you want to bet?
Let's bring that back next time.
All right.
But that's a shake right there. We're definitely going to have a bet. We'll figure out what the actual what we're actually betting for here. So.
All right. Next team is the Wizards.
The Wizards. I mean, the Wizards are good every year. I don't know. I mean, they have a lot of money tied up and some really good players that are going to age really quickly. But I don't know. I like these guys. I don't think. I mean,
let's second best big three.
Yeah. I mean, let's go with I'm just going to say this. I mean, I'll go ahead and let you take the next guy, but I think the Wizards are a really good team. I think they're the next best team in the East, or they're close to it at least. I think they're definitely a top four at this point. Let's see how it plays out in the next couple weeks, but I think it's obvious who the best team in the East is still, and I'm going to let you take that. We're going to go to the New Orleans Hornets.
If I had to sum up the Hornets in a few words, it'd be, they make me sick.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
I mean, I'll quickly. I mean, everybody was talking about the Raptors and the Pistons, GM of the year. For what the Hornets did this year, I mean, they lost a ton of people. Lost most of their team. And,
right, so,
and
well,
they
not
just,
most.
Huh?
Not most.
Well, they lost three or four guys that were, I mean, Okur was their, what, second best player on the team?
Yeah, well,
I mean, to partly. Lose him and then to plug somebody else in, I mean, I think this guy could be a top GM of the year candidate at this point, in my opinion.
Do you think he gets, like, Popovich and Phil Jackson, since he's all the way at the top always? That's why he doesn't get voted on. I mean, he got
tied
it this year, though.
Right. I mean, it was the reason I voted for you rather than him last year was because you actually made moves that made your team that good. He essentially went into the season with the same team, it seemed like. I mean, he didn't make many changes. He didn't, you know, he was just slow and steady. That's kind of what we've expected from the Hornets, and it's just the reason why I didn't pick him last year. But at this point, three sims in and watching this guy on a 10-0 run, it's really hard not to say, you know, this guy's rebuilt his team for the long haul again. I don't know. He's got the best record in the league, and I know the Lakers are the best in the West, but, you know, when it comes down to it, I think this guy's good. I think he's going to continue to be good, and I think he deserves to be GM of the year almost every year at this point. He's proven to me this year.
Yeah. So, to the West.
Yep.
I'll start it out because I don't want to take my own team. Sacramento Kings. I'll make this one quick. Terrible. Next.
San Antonio Spurs. Not equally as bad, but
injuries.
not good. How what's their injury situation like right now? What's going on? Can you fill me in?
Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
The team, the heart and soul, and he's got about 37 two guards, so yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, that hurts.
But Kidd's back.
Yeah, Kidd's back now. I mean, he missed I'm looking at this. They played 21 games, he played 16. So he missed 5 games.
He always talks about being ready to contend and wanting to contend, but he hasn't built the roster around Kidd. I mean, he had it 1 year. I think he went to the finals, but past that.
Right.
Once he lost Pippen,
Right.
He hasn't replaced his production.
Right.
So, Clippers, I'll say questionable trading. That's how I'd describe it.
Yeah, some of their moves have not been great. There's been guys that I know that I would have rather kept than trade for. That being said, he's put himself in a pretty good position at this point, 7-11, and he's filled all the major spots in his starting lineup. Now, where's his depth? I don't know. And he's learning this game just the same as everybody else. We'll see what happens there.
Next one.
Timberwolves. These guys trade every one of their players. Who did they even sign this year? I remember that they were in serious trouble. No, I know they have Boozer. But they also had three other guys. They had two guys signed, I think, before the end of free agency.
Yeah, that's because they drafted one of them.
Oh, okay. So yeah, they had Boozer. And he almost traded Boozer. Or he didn't almost trade Boozer because it was a legal trade. But I don't know.
Hey, so one thing to bring up is Etan Thomas, who the Rockets traded, basically gave him away, get rid of his salary. They gave away Etan Thomas and the first round pick, who is now averaging 10-7 off the bench and 2 blocks. I mean, the Rockets could have used him. I didn't think that was a great move by the Rockets, but I thought it was a great move by the Timberwolves.
Well, but where's Etan been playing? Has he been playing the 3?
I think he's been playing the 4. Is that a Nene joke?
I don't know. I'm looking at Boozer, and Boozer's listed. I don't know his depth chart right off, but Boozer's listed as a 4.
Yeah, Thomas a 4. 23.8,
10, and 33 minutes. I mean, Boozer's obviously the starter at that position. Thomas is also at that position. Seems like the most production for this team is coming from that area. So,
all right.
I mean,
next one.
These guys in the middle are pretty. I'm just, yeah. Denver Portland. Nuggets.
No, it's Portland next. That's mine.
No. Oh, you're going Nuggets.
Oh, Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
Oh, man. They just haven't gotten it together, man. They have I think I kind of got caught up with their starting lineup, which is really good with Bibby, Stackhouse, Marion Bosch, and Les Brezic. But they just don't have any depth on their team. Outside Nate Robinson, mm-hmm. Anthony Hardaway is a shell of his former self.
Right.
They've got a long way to go still.
So. Yeah. Portland Trailblazers, very active. I remember this is Inner GI, right?
Right.
Yeah. So Inner GI is the guy who stalked their boards and learned the game before he actually even had a team.
I liked it.
I mean, great stuff. He's learning, he's got a good team. He's felt like he built a good team.
He got shafted.
How so?
With Kenyon Martin. I mean, he took over a team that was in the finals, and everything was put together, and then when he came back, basically Kenyon Martin was gone in free agency.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but well, that's rough.
He's got to rebuild. That team wasn't built to last anyway.
Yeah. Steve Francis going to be the guy carrying that team, obviously.
Next one is the Dallas Mavericks.
We've talked about a little bit. Let's wait and see what they did this sim. They just traded for... I mean, we talked about this earlier. We don't need to build too much time on them. Yep. But I think they're going to... They could stay put at that 8. I also wouldn't be surprised if they snuck out.
So, Jazz, I think, is a pretender, a huge pretender. They're doing pretty well, and they have a decent team, but I just don't think they're built for the playoffs.
Well, and they've played 15 games. I mean, the schedule is crazy. I played 25 games. They've played 15 games through threesomes. I mean, we don't even know what to expect from this team yet. Any team with this little of games, it's really hard to make a call compared to everybody else. That being said, right into the next one, the Memphis Grizzlies.
And you.
I mean, we expect good things from the Grizzlies. I don't know that we should be all that worried about what they've done so far.
He's the West Bojangles.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's quite steady as they go. I mean, I know the only reason that his name keeps coming up at this point is because the Rockets keep, you know, saying it. You know, I think he's a contender. I think he's a guy that would sneak. I think he sneaks into the top four.
Does he win his division for the 18th year in a row?
I think that's I can't make that call. I think those two. I think he deserves the respect, so I'm going to say yes, because he has done this very well up until this point. But the Rockets are good and they're producing right now. I'm looking at the standings, 9-1 in their last 10, but we'll get to them in a minute. But I like the Grizzlies in the top four. You know, I like them as a division winner contender. I like them as a contender. Period. You know, I think you can respect them on that one.
All right.
Next one, Suns.
So I like this team. I think they're doing good things. Sure, Vince Carter's production's down, but they've got a good starting five. They have got depth. They can make a serious run in the playoffs, in my opinion.
Okay. Supersonics. No, I'm sorry. Skip the Warriors. My bad. Golden State Warriors. I don't really know what to say at this point. This has been a pretty quiet team. They got a lot of money tied up in guys, but we're talking about the here and now. Outscoring their opponents 2.7 points. I don't know what to expect from this team. I got to be honest, I don't know much about them.
Everybody expects them to fail, but they always do well.
Yeah, and you know, this may be the team in this top four that I would push out. And we'll get to the next guys, but I would say the Grizzlies end up better than this team. But not by much. I think this is the Bucks of this conference. I think this is a team that deserves to contend for most of the season, and they may just slip out of the top four, right there at the end.
So you take the next one.
Supersonics. What can be said? God mode Chris Paul has made Ray Allen better. I don't know what to say about this team. You know, I'm going to give B-Ball reasons his respect. He's been putting in his depth charts. Everything looks good. He's excited about the team. I can respect that. That's the same thing that's coming from me. That's why I'm more active now than I was before. I think this team could stick around. You know, that Chris Paul being as productive as he is, I mean, let's just look at his line real quick. He's 36 minutes, 18 points, 6.2 rebounds, which is crazy, 10.3 assists, 2.5 steals, 3 turnovers. That's not great. But, I mean, this guy is insanely good as a rookie. He has 2 more training sessions, which means the 2 things he's not good at will be better. This guy's going to be good. This team's going to be good. I expect them to hang around. I don't expect them to win the first playoff series, but I expect them to be in the top four.
All right. Next one is the Rockets, which I'll take.
Okay.
I think we are seeing a changing of the guard in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of has gutted his depth, which I don't think is a good move for the playoffs, but he's a tough team, 1 through 5, 1 through 8.
Yeah.
And the playoffs are about 1 through 8.
Exactly.
1 through 5.
Exactly.
Or not 1 through 12 either.
Yeah. To have that sweet spot of 8 players that are just good together.
Well, an injury.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, last year, my first round, I was missing Iverson for 4 games.
Yeah.
That could sink a lot of teams, but, you know, you have a good backup, you can stay afloat.
Right. I mean, I like this guy. I think he called his shot, and tried to back off a little bit, but it may look like he might end up getting there.
Yeah.
So we're running really long, so I'm just going to cut it short right there. Oh, no, we got one more team. the L.A. Lakers. You tried to get cute last week with the new game plan, just trying some things out.
It wasn't cute. It was trying not to get my guys 42 minutes a game.
Iverson's hurt right now.
Yep.
Iverson missed how many games last time?
Oh, I don't know, 3.
Okay, so there's injury problems here, but you're just trying to learn more about your team. I feel stupid having asked the question of whether or not this team would be better than the Hornets last year. I did not expect you to kind of play around with things just to see what works and what doesn't. That's a scary thing, though, for you to be able to do that right now and still sit atop the West and learn what you learned from the last two sims and now be able to turn it into what your game plan is probably going to be for the rest of the year. That's all that can be said there. I mean, you're the best team in the West, and I don't really expect a lot of teams to challenge you for that. You know, we'll see who that number two team is, that number two or three team. Obviously, the Grizzlies have given you fits in the past.
In the regular season.
In the regular season. Not in the postseason?
Well, we've only played once.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see.
Surprisingly.
We'll see. I don't expect any of the teams in the bottom of the conference to beat you, because we're talking about your best eight. You may not have eight, but you have a solid 6 or 7 that's good enough, especially considering your top three guys. That formula always works out. It's always different, considering what your players are, who your players are, and Iverson, McGrady, and the champ Duncan.
The only guy that's not a champ on my team.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Hopefully he doesn't bring the bad luck on you. I mean, knock on wood. I want to let you know that's what you're hearing right there. So
so let's get through this, because we're running, like you said, we are running long.
This is long.
Yeah, you're going to have to edit some stuff out. Suicide watch real quick. Pistons, are your playoff hopes gone?
I'm still hopeful. I have one last... This is my last, last stand. I feel like the guys from 300. I'm gonna get killed anyway. But I have a chance, one last chance, and it doesn't end well. So,
I don't want to say you're done.
I played 25 games though.
I think you're done.
If I had gotten the 15 game schedule that I was talking about earlier, or the 16 game schedule I was talking about earlier with the Grizzly and the Jazz, I think I would have been in better shape. But I got 25 games learning which game plan to run and making two horrific mistakes. I mean, 6-4 in that one sim was good. I should have just rode that out. But I'm trying to make sure I'm capitalizing on the right things and putting the right people in the right spots. And that unfortunately failed for me last sim.
So the next team is 4 games worse than you.
Yeah.
And from their last post, they think they are going to be a 500 team, playoff team. That's a suicide watch to me. But I don't see them making the playoffs. 4-17 is... I mean, unless they come back to do a run like the Hornets did and lose, 5 games in the second half.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
They haven't figured out the game plan yet.
No. Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, this is a team that I, expected to come back and talk about and expected them to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
And two sims later, they're not.
And, they're terrible.
Yeah, and sorry. I hate to keep pounding on them, but they're injured in the wrong spots. Like, they're already thin up top. Like, for them to be injured down low is so detrimental to them. And I don't think they beat me, but they scored. Weber scored 59 points on me.
Yeah, he's a bitch.
59 points. I mean, that's insane. And that's without Shaq. So what does that do? I mean, do they come back down to earth when those two come? I don't think there's a happy ending with this team at all.
Maybe next year. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know, They are the Lakers of real life now.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to make the playoffs.
Right.
To get swept.
Right. Yeah.
So next team, obviously the Kings, but
I don't think
is it suicide watch when you're dead already?
Yeah, I don't think it is. I mean, I think he's happy to be here. He's just the guy, that one player that makes the Major League Baseball All-Star game because he's representing his team.
Who's he going to get with the number one pick?
Who's he going to get this year?
Yeah.
I don't even know this class. Who came out in this class?
I don't know, like Rudy Gay. I think like Brandon Roy's out there.
Yeah, which who knows? I mean, this is where it's going to be trouble because now the commish can grade these guys out the way that they were in real life, which is opposite of what we've seen so far. You know, we've had old files that, weren't as strong towards the best players, or some of the worst players were, not as good. You understand what I'm saying.
Hear me out here. The Celtics next year could be what the Sonics are this year. I mean, you throw a guy like Brandon Roy, Rondo, somebody like that on the Celtics, they might be atop the East in 1 year.
Yeah, that would be most improved. I mean,
maybe Andrea Bargnani. Yeah. I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. So, most hated player you've ever had?
I'm gonna stick with Cassell.
Why is the reason why Sam Cassell?
Because I had Steven Jackson, I had Steven Jackson, and I had Kevin Martin, and I wanted those two guys to take the most shots. I didn't have Cassell on my scoring options. I was experimenting with a lot of younger guys. What it comes down to, this guy took all my shots. And the reason why I needed to get rid of him as quick as I did is because I wasn't going to re-sign him. He was not a future Piston. Right from the get-go, he was a guy that was, simply there to, make up for the cap space that I was having to move. This guy just took all my shots, and I never liked him. I never wanted him to be on my team, and he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but I was always geared up towards addressing the point guard position in the offseason with someone better than Cassell. I think Nash is better than Cassell. We'll see. But what about you? What's your guy?
Eric Snow.
Really?
Now, it's not his fault. I gave him a bad contract. I accepted it. It was my mistake. But every time I saw him on a roster, it was a constant reminder of that mistake. And that's kind of what I assume Quayle's parents feel like.
Ooh.
Every time for Christmas.
He's going to love to get to that one.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. God.
Valentine's Day.
Quayle is still here. Valentine's Day. You think Quayle gets Valentine's from his mom?
I think it should be the other way around, but that's another reminder.
I can't wait to have him back on the show. So.
Yeah. So how about the worst one you've ever played against?
It's tough for me because I wasn't active, so all I was doing was going to cash in Iverson and Fortson's points. So I'd look at my lineup, and then, that would be it. Whoever was on Quayle's team the year they beat me, I'm just going to go ahead and go with them. I'm going to go with that collective team. I'm sorry, it's a cop-out, but I was up 3-1 and lost the series and was a better team than him. Yeah. What about you?
Karl Malone. Just made me his bitch for 2 Western Conference playoffs in a row. I hate him.
Yeah.
Already retired.
Yeah.
Virtual Karl Malone is dead somewhere in a ditch. That's about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well.
Well, this thing is fairly longer. Not as much chemistry. We're playing Skype phone here, so maybe next time, maybe the weekend podcast will be better. But hopefully, we got everybody in on this one. Hopefully, you guys like it still. We do want to get with the Skype angle. We do want to get people involved. So, PM us, let us know what your Skype name is. We might just start calling people in randomly in the middle of a show. So
that's why we're Facebooking you.
Yeah.
Not me, but them.
Right. Exactly.
If you have your cell on there, expect a call.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, guys. Well, Hey, good luck to you in Sim 4. I'm hoping the Detroit Pistons have a great couple of Sims here, but we'll see. What about you, Lakes?
I mean, I always want to win, so.
Right, well.
I don't wish anybody good luck. Hope everybody loses. I'm atop the league.
Hope everyone loses and you get all of the wins. He has 7 games in a sim or something along those lines. He gets 37 wins. It would be impressive. It would be really impressive.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys. Have a good one. Talk to y'all later.